Hi, this is Spike Lee, and you are listening to WBAI Community Radio in New York City. WBAI exists almost entirely on your support. Please be generous. Thank you very much.
Good evening. This is WBAI Pacifica Radio in New York. And tonight we will have another special report with Dr. Mary Frances Berry, who is chair of the Pacifica Foundation, about developments around the network in the foundation and, of course, it around our sister stations. A unique institution, a fabulous and precious institution. And we will now go to Washington, D.C., with Dr. Mary Frances Berry, whom we hope is on the line with us. In our studio, a senior producer here, and our program administrator, Bernard White, is on the engineering console and will be the moderator for this evening.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Dr. Berry?
Is Bernard there?
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am. Are you receiving a little echo there? Is that it?
Right, I did, yes.
Yeah, I think they have to turn down the speaker there. What about now? Is that better?
I think that's better, okay. Yes.
Very good. Well, we're ready to begin. Would you like to begin with some opening remarks, Dr. Berry, and then we'll move to listener phone calls?
Yeah, I'll just say, as I don't want to wear out my welcome on WBAI, and I was on last week, and I was in New York yesterday meeting with the staff at their invitation. Let me just say very briefly that the reason why I'm on the board of Pacifica and agreed to chair the board when Jack O'Dell and other board members asked me to, is for one reason only. I have plenty of other things to do, but chairing the board fits in with the goals I've had all my life of trying to have greater inclusion of people who have been left out and trying to spread a progressive message so that my goals at Pacifica, which are in the strategic plan of Pacifica and in the charter of Pacifica Foundation, and goals that are shared by the board are just really very simple. One is to grow the audiences. We have stations with so much potential, such powerful transmitters, and in such wonderful markets. I want to grow the audience. That's what we want to do. We want to promote and advance diversity here at the end of the 21st century as we enter the 20th century, as we enter the 21st, with the different populations that exist in this country, that each station ought to serve its signal area very well, meet the needs of the community, and then that the programming should include a progressive message. What do I mean by that? A message of social justice, which is what Pacifica stands for. The crisis at KPFA, which has taken up an inordinate amount of time, has interfered with our ability to move forward with our goals, but we are, we think, at a point where we can begin to move forward again. The other issue I would just address briefly is that there has been a lot of misinformation spread about the plans of the board to sell stations. We have no intention of selling any of Pacifica stations. They're too valuable. We want to grow them, make them work better. We don't want to sell them. There are people who always want to buy them, but that's their problem. And they are valuable assets, and that is recognized by people. So we need to have committed people who work at the stations, and we do, people who are committed to those goals that are outlined, and we need the community to support their stations and to keep their eyes on the goal and not get bogged down in internal controversies over who's in charge of what. And that's what I hope for in Pacifica.
Okay, we will go to the telephone. The telephone number here is area code 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. And please, there will probably be many people calling. Let's see if you can ask a question and then make it brief so that we can move forward. And please, if you can, make it a question.
You mean don't make a speech?
Please. okay. BAI, you're on the air.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I have a very simple question to ask Dr. Berry.
and that is this. There's that famous email that has been all over the internet in which it is clear that Dr. Berry had initiated selling some or all of the stations. How in the world does she have the gall to deny it?
Your station, your question has a great deal of gall in it, if I may be permitted to say so. There
I'm
is
sure
no
you
such
will.
Email that says anything about me being committed to selling anything. That is a patent falsehood. It is, in fact, a lie. The email that you're referring to from Michael Palmer, which, by the way, I never received. He sent it inadvertently to somebody else. The email expresses Mr. Palmer's desire, which he has expressed publicly on numerous occasions, to sell one or two stations, I've forgotten the details, and asks at the end of the email, why is it that we can't move forward with these ideas? If we had had plans to do so, he wouldn't be asking why we should move forward. So I can't help what people write in emails that are their ideas. Mr. Palmer is in favor of selling WBAI, KPFA possibly. He has felt this way for a long, long time, and he has a right to his own opinion. I don't happen to share it. Next question, please.
Okay, BAI, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. Thanks for being on the air, Dr. Berry. I'm sure,
sure
you have the best of intentions, and I'm sure that everybody can, if they have the right attitude, to solve whatever problems. I've been a listener of BAI for 30 years, and occasionally, you know, all organizations go through little changes, and I'm sure that BAI is going to be doing all right. My questions are three, relative to keeping the listeners, keeping our eye on what's going on. I'd like to know, like, where is BII incorporated so we can get a hold of the Charter of Incorporation? Where can we get a, secondly, where can we get a hold of the bylaws to keep track? And thirdly, can, like the Federal Reserve, can we get a hold of the minutes occasionally to find out what the board has in mind so we can keep track of the goals of peace and social justice? That's my question.
All right. Those are very good questions. The minutes of the board meetings are kept at each station and are put on the internet on our website. When I became chair of the board, I had people come to public comment period to ask me why they couldn't get minutes of the board meetings. And I said, that's ridiculous. We ought to transcribe them. We ought to have them at each station for anybody who asks, and we ought to have them up on the website. So the minutes of the board meetings are published, since I become chair, on the website. The Charter of Pacifica, if you want a copy of it, maybe we ought to put that up on the website. I hadn't thought about that. That's a good idea. That's a public document. The foundation is incorporated in California, and the licenses are held by the Pacifica Foundation for all of the stations. But we will, as what you suggested, we will make sure that there are charters. They are available at stations, but we will figure out how we can put that up on the website, too, so that you can see it, and the bylaws also, so that you can know about those, too.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Am I on the air? Hello?
Yes, you are. You're on
okay.
the air.
Dr. Berry?
Yes?
There's been a lot of talk about who started this whole problem at KPFA. Of course, there are many people who say that it was the Pacifica Foundation. Can you enlighten us mm-hmm. on how this thing really got started and how it developed? And what was the role of
sure.
the foundation? What was the role of the staff at KPFA? And
sure.
what where we go from here?
Yes, I'd be happy to. And if you want independent verification of what I'm saying from someone who's not sympathetic to, say, the foundation especially, you might read the article and then the letters in the most recent edition of Nation Magazine that Mark Cooper, who is a critic of ours, has written. And here is basically what happened. The staff at KPFA was unhappy when the station manager contract was not renewed by our executive director. And the staff, when she told them that her contract was not renewed, the staff, instead of, who are unionized, by the way, they have the Communications Workers of America, a very strong union, and we have a contract with them. The staff, instead of coming to file a grievance or to complain to the board or to the executive director, went on the air and mounted a protest on the air of this. The person in question, who was not renewed, did not appeal either from that decision to the executive committee or to the board or anyone. They went immediately to the barricades, as it were, and started a protest on the air, complaining and accusing the board, which the executive director didn't renew it. That's her authority, but we knew about it. But in any case, they started a protest. The protest grew, and we did not do anything to take them off the air, even though there's a rule in Pacifica, which has been around since I was a child, and I'm 61 years old now. Which is called the dirty laundry rule. It's in the personnel book that everybody gets. Dorothy Healy, who was an old communist who has a radio show on Pacifica since the 50s, says that when she first came on, she was handed it. And it says that you're not supposed to discuss internal matters on the air. They discussed it on the air, mounted a protest, and then when it became news, they decided covering it as news. In other words, they made it news. So it got bigger and bigger. We thought they would stop. They didn't. We were mistaken in our judgment. And pretty soon you had protesters outside the station. You had people on the air violating the dirty laundry rule. One person was given four warnings not to do it anymore, and even after four warnings, kept on doing it and was taken off the air, which they added to the protest. Then they started saying we were gagging them, and this was a free speech movement, which got a lot of attention, of course. Then they started asking people who give to the station not to give money, or to give money only if we did whatever they told them. And it got bigger and bigger, and finally the city of Berkeley said that they could not protect our station, and we have a license, and if you let someone take over your station, they become pirates, and you may lose your license. So they told us they couldn't protect it, so we had to hire guards to protect the station as a business judgment, because there wasn't any other way to protect it. We heard rumors that it was going to be taken over, and it became quite a big thing. They hired media people to represent them, and all sorts of things happened. And then I guess the next thing that occurred that got a lot of press was one of our on-air programmers went in to violate the rule and was taken off the air, and he rushed to the microphones and claimed that he was somehow being assaulted by armed guards or was going to be assaulted or something, which has caused even more people to protest and try to storm the station. And so finally, after all of this and with the name calling and everything else, the board decided that what we would do is to tell them that we would reopen the station, that we had to evacuate it after this last incident because the police said that it was unsafe, and that they could control it, the staff. We have given them the right to control the programming on the station. They may do whatever they want, and we have suspended the dirty laundry rule, and now it only applies to stations based on what the station manager thinks is necessary. So at KPFA, they can do whatever they want to on the air. They can trash their bosses 24 hours a day if that's what they think is good radio. But the only thing we have done is to tell them that they must adhere to these goals that we have in mind: grow the audience, diversity, meet the needs of the community, and have progressive programming with a social justice message. By the way, their audience numbers had, in the last year before any of this started, gone down again. They only have about 146,000 listeners who tune in at any one time during a week, in a market of 8 to 9 million people that reaches all the way from San Jose to Mendocino. And we just think that that is atrocious, and we're hoping to do something about it. So you may check the facts on that by, as I say, looking at the magazine articles. But from our perspective, it was the fact that the staff did not take other means to pursue their complaints and started this protest that has created numerous problems. We've had to hire lawyers. It's not just the guards, but our staff, the national office, can't go in their office. They've been out of their offices all this time. There was somebody who fired three rifle shots into their office. The police have never found out who did it. I've had numerous conversations.
Okay, thanks for your call. BAI, you're on the air. You have to turn your radio down.
Hi, I have a question for Dr. Barry. What kind of programming would she like to see come to Pacifica, to the station, to increase listener involvement.
Okay. What I would like to see is for the staff at the station, not me. I can't do this for every station. The stations must know better their audiences. Sit down themselves and figure out, and if they need anybody to give them advice or help, we would provide that. What would, in fact, be a good way to package for our audience the kind of programming that would be both progressive and meet the needs of the diversity of our community, whatever that is, so that we can do it in such a way that more people might listen, and when they turn the radio on and hear it, they might be attracted to it, and do it with high quality, too, so that when people hear it, they will say, now that sounds like something I ought to listen to, and I will tune into that. There's a certain amount of professionalism, that's not a bad word, that ought to be involved. That professionalism means pride in one's work, that ought to be involved, so that we get good sound quality, whatever progressive message. And you don't have to be, dilute a progressive message in order to get audience. There are shows on WBAI, I was on one of them yesterday, and I'm sure there are others, that have a very sound social justice focus, that are both entertaining in the sense that people wouldn't get bored listening to it and be attracted to it. So I just think that it's possible to do that on a station. I think that there's even music that has a progressive message. If you listen to the words of songs and the way they're presented, there are also music that has diversity, culturally diverse music, which is one of the goals of Pacifica to present. So I think that if a staff sits down and really thinks about what they're putting on the air, if they seek advice from the community, ask the people. There's nothing wrong with asking the people who listen to you or people who are in your signal area, do you have ideas about what we should be doing, what would meet your needs? Bringing in some new people who want to come in, who have ideas for shows, trying them out. There are all kinds of things that should do. So I would not prescribe it. All we do as a board is to set goals and let the locals figure out how they want to go about meeting those goals.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
May I? You're on the air.
Hello. I'd like to ask Dr. Berry, most 501(c)s and not-for-profit institutions in this country have boards of directors or boards of trustees whose primary job is to bring money into the institution. Their secondary responsibility is to generally oversee the operation and the distribution of that allocated money once it comes in. I'd like to know exactly what it is that, having demonstrated that you don't really know the history of Pacifica or the stations, what qualifies you, Dr. Berry, specifically, and generally the qualifications of the members of the board, the National Board of Pacifica, to dictate in an ever more heavy-handed manner to the stations around the country who are much more directly in touch with the community. And if I may have a follow-up at the end of Dr. Berry's answer.
Well, first of all, you've asked a loaded question, which is filled with all kinds of statements where you've already reached conclusions, but I'll try to answer it anyway. First of all, I believe that board members ought to contribute, of any organization, ought to contribute to the organization. But you're wrong about what people do generally on 501(c)(3)s. I happen to serve on a number of boards and have for years. Some of them I give money to, other I give advice, other I have experiences that they find useful. And board members contribute in a lot of different ways. But I generally think that board members ought to give to the organization. And we have a requirement that board members give something to the organization. Most of our board members were elected, are nominated and then elected by the board from local advisory boards, the ones that are serving on the board right now. So their credentials come from the local advisory board having nominated them to the board. So whatever they have, those people on the local and the locals must have decided that these were the people that they want to send. I think that for the future, as far as I can see, most of the people who will be on the Pacifica board will be people who local advisory boards, because they're the ones who are involved, will either suggest or will encourage to serve. But it just happens to be that way now, so I don't have to speak to their credentials. As far as my own credentials are concerned, I've been a social activist all my life. I've served on a number of boards. I was asked to come to this board. I did not seek it. The board itself must have felt that I had something to contribute. In fact, I turned them down and then eventually accepted it. And I certainly don't need to explain. It's not seeking an office. So if you'd like to ask something else, go right ahead.
Yes, I'd like to know exactly the name and, and the position of the official of the city of Berkeley who told you that they couldn't protect KPFA.
The person who told me, who said this, did not tell me this because I was not in Berkeley, but our executive director conveyed that to me, that she was told that by officials in the police department, that the kind of security that was needed to secure the building and to secure the personnel who were subjected to all kinds of harassments and threats, including death threats, was not available. It's not the kind of thing that the police department in Berkeley is capable, or any other police department, in their view, is capable of giving to somebody on that basis.
Thank you very much.
Okay. BAI, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Well, good evening. I'm so glad I was able to get through. Dr. Berry, I have a question for you. I understand from listening to several conversations of yours that you're interested in increasing the diversity level of your listeners. My question to you is, would it be possible to obtain the demographics of each of the Pacifica stations?
Yes.
Okay.
We know what signal areas we are in geographically. For example, we know what the New York the signal area of WBAI encompasses, and the Census Bureau reports tell us who lives in the New York signal area. So that's not something that I'm just, you know, making up or anything.
Okay.
We know that in the Bay Area, for example, from Mendocino to San Jose, we have a large Asian American population, lots of Chinese Americans, other, and we have a large Latino population, and we have a smaller but sizable black population in the Bay Area. We know that in Washington, D.C., we have a huge black population, lots of Latinos. So when I say diversity, we know that demographics concerning age of population. I mean, the Census Bureau reports all that stuff. And the state, the numbers on the audience of Pacifica, it's not something I made up. We have been getting for years, not ever before I ever came anywhere near Pacifica, reports on the audience. And we get them quarterly, if I'm not mistaken. And yes, we get them quarterly. And the numbers are there, and they show who listens at all hours of the day, night, weekend, and what the figures were last year, what they were the last quarter. So we get this book all the time.
Well, Dr. Berry, I did want to keep you on the line. I wanted that question answered, but also I'd like to tell you that I appreciate your comments and what you've done and said, you know, over the air. I've been in New York probably for the last couple of months and listened to WBAI, excuse me, daily and oftentimes two or three times a day, and I just love the station, but I also love and appreciate what you've done on their behalf. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, and I need all the help and prayers I can get right through here. Thank you, darling.
BAI, you're on the air.
Yeah, Dr. Berry, perhaps you may agree that the very nature of true community radio is that it offers an alternative to what is an essentially racist, profit-driven system. It is undeniable that recent events at KPFA seem to run counter to the mission of listener-supported free speech radio, and I'd just like to briefly indicate three items to which I'd like your response. One, the question of privatizing arose at a Pacifica board meeting, and in a subsequent interview at which Pacifica staff were barred from asking questions, you said that if the Berkeley City Council wants to make an offer, quote, we'll listen. Also, the Pacifica board locked out staff, hired armed guards, and a union-busting firm called the American Consulting Group. Staffers were dragged out in handcuffs and arrested, for which hundreds of thousands of dollars that listeners gave to the station were spent. Finally, I submit that your concerns, wrapped in new code words of diversity and growth, mask other intentions. In your recent interview, you responded to a question by Jose Santiago that the stations in Houston and Washington, D.C. are going in a satisfactory direction, notwithstanding that those stations have hardly any local programming but lots of pop music. It seems to many of us that you want Pacifica to become like National Public Radio, which is beholden to its corporate sponsors. And since the current and most grave crisis in Pacifica's history is taking place under your stewardship, is it not reasonable, I would say urgent, that you and the KPFA station manager immediately resign?
I think that your packaged comments, which are the same thing that people keep emailing me in the same package, although the emails have gone down recently, are mostly false and misleading. That's all I can say. Patently false for the most part, and misleading where they are not patently false. First of all, as far as privatizing, what we said was the Berkeley City Council passed a resolution saying that they wanted to explore, when the station was closed, whether or not they could in fact, whether they in fact wanted to buy the station in Berkeley. And what we said was we did not want to sell the station, but that out of courtesy, if the board, the council in Berkeley thought, and the way they put it was they didn't want Pacifica in there, that if they thought they wanted to buy it and give it to the people in the community and keep it in Berkeley as a community radio station, we would, out of courtesy, listen to them. But we said very clearly, we have no intention of selling our station. They immediately responded. In fact, we were challenging them for their outrageous suggestion that Pacifica is so offensive that they didn't want us in Berkeley. They immediately, of course, backtracked and said they weren't serious. And that was the end of that. The other thing is, you use words like locked out, union busting group. We haven't hired any union busting group. That is just a patent lie. I don't know what they did before I came to Pacifica, but the lawyer we have as a labor lawyer was recommended to us by labor unions, so I don't know where you got that idea from. As far as locking anybody out, nobody was locked out. What happened was the staff, as a result of the activity of claiming that there somebody was being shot, about to be shot, a crisis, and all these people who were not supposed to be in the station ran into it, the security guards and the police said we needed to evacuate the station because there was a danger to person and property. So if anybody locked anybody out, they locked us out, and they locked our national staff out who can't get into their office. And in fact, we continue to pay the staff, including the ones who have protested against us and created all of this chaos. We have paid them their full salaries the entire time that they have been in this chaos. And I have to point one other thing out to you. These folks belong to the Communications Workers of America Union, which is a strong union. And I've had conversations with the head of that union nationally, Martin Barr. And he agrees that we have been fair to them, that we were fair to them in opening the station. It was reasonable. We've been paying them. And in fact, you go, people talking about locking them out, as I said, they locked us out. One of the costs of this crisis is the cost of paying people when they're not working. The last thing that I will say, as far as the security guards, I have explained that before. And all I can say is if we did not have security in that station and we abandoned it to the protesters and somebody started a fire in there and it burned up the building and the surrounding buildings that are very close to it, we would have people saying Pacifica is irresponsible. They abandoned the building and now all the neighborhood is burned up. And we had business owners in that neighborhood who were concerned about what was going on there, so that it was a business judgment, which really ought to be made, that this be done. As far as WPFW is concerned and the station there, you are wrong about what is on the air at WPFW. There are numerous public affairs programs on the station. And the people who are on the station are volunteer local people who are programmers who are by and large on the air. So you're mistaken about it. All of our stations in Pacifica have areas where they could improve, every single one of them. But in fact, WPFW and WBAI have more diversity in their audiences. It's increasing at T and Houston, but we are sadly lacking at our station in Berkeley, as we were before this protest began and as we've been for a number of years, and I hope that it will improve.
And you're listening to WBAI. It is 7:31.